Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. We've got a couple of great interviews coming up. We're going to be talking to Anchor in the first hour, and then we've got our private investigator coming in to tell us about a bit about what he's been up to. But it's my pleasure to introduce Heidi Tucker, the CEO from Anchor. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Alan.
And nice that's great. And we've also got Emily Abbott, who's actually a foster carer. So we're going to hear a bit about her life, not so much about her life, but about what got her into foster caring and the benefits that she's found of it. But welcome, Emily.
Thank you.
Emily, you'll need to be a bit closer to your device. You're a little bit too quiet. Heidi, just give us a brief outline of what foster care is for us.
Okay, well, in its simplest form, foster care is provided by volunteers. So people that come forward and wish to be foster carers or provide care for a child in their own home. The children are subject to legal court orders where Child Protection Services have been through a process where they have received a report about a child being unsafe. They've taken action, they've investigated, and they have got the court's permission to remove that child and place that child in foster care. So in its simplest form, it's a group of very dedicated volunteers who provide care for children overnight, short-term, long-term, emergency care, all sorts of care for children. Sometimes it's siblings, sometimes children come as family groups, sometimes they come as individuals, and it's for any child 0 to 18. Foster care is really quite a, it's probably been around since probably the late 40s, I would think, in its current form, yeah.
Heidi, one of the things that I thought about until I've spoken to you about this before is that I thought foster care, you took them and you had them for years, but what you just said then, that it's not necessarily so, like it could be just a weekend or a couple of nights or something to get things sorted out.
Yeah. Look, it can be that. Essentially it's to create safety and a nurturing environment for a child. And, yes, that can be overnight. It can be, more longer term for that. Many foster carers are really inspired by caring for a child for as long as it takes for a birth parent to be able to be in a position to be able to take that child back into their care again. People have some interesting views about who birth parents actually are. They're people who are disadvantaged, who have had disadvantage, perhaps mental health issues, family violence, etc. And so many foster carers are really, really happy to care for a child, make them safe for a period of time until they can return to their family. Unfortunately, for some children, their families are just not in a position to ever really be able to have them back with them safely. And so we have, foster carers who gladly open their home for a long period of time. But it really is dependent on each individual situation.
I was going to ask you that, Heidi. There must be some that just can't go back. The home life is so bad that they're never going to go home.
That's true. And when we talk about, the home life being bad, it's often things that are out of people's control. They aren't able to, control those safety factors for a child to return home safely. It is true that some children, can't return. But I guess I've been in this game over 40 years and I always ask the question, is there a possible way for a child to be cared for by their birth parents? And I think the very best, combination, I'm sure Emily would back this up, is what's really great for I think what some foster carers are really rewarded by is working in tandem with a birth family, knowing what they're doing is raising up a child in the community. And we say takes a village to raise a child.
Yep. I've just got to take a quick break and then I'd like to hear from Emily. I've got a few questions we'd ask for Ask Everly. So we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Friday combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? I'm buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. The beat us low and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, and we're talking to Anchor, and we've been talking to Heidi, who's the CEO, and we're talking about foster caring. We have with us Emily, who's a foster carer. Emily, I'm keen to find out, first of all, what got you involved with becoming a foster carer?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. I always find that a funny question because I think it just always made sense to me that that was something that we would do. I very much thought that if you have a home and you're in a position where you can take in a kid, why wouldn't you take in a kid? Which I understand is not the thinking that most
people
have.
Not everybody thinks the same way.
And we knew a few carers on kind of our periphery as well. So I'd kind of always grown up knowing of foster care and just thought, what a great thing to be able to offer someone that needs a home. It's definitely not quite as simple as I had thought when I was a kid, but it was very rewarding.
So how many children have you got?
We have had six kids, or kids and teenagers, that we've looked after.
Yep.
We started with a short-term placement, which was 6 months with a little girl that was 2 weeks out from her 9th birthday. And so she stayed with us for 6 months. And then when she moved on, we've continued to do respite for her. We've also looked after two sets of siblings, and then we had an emergency placement with a teenager. So we kind of ended up with five kids that we see pretty regularly, with the main one being this little girl that's 11 now, which is a bit daunting.
Emily, I don't want to ask or get too personal, but do you have children of your own?
I'm actually pregnant at the moment with twins.
Oh, that's terrific. So obviously you sat down with your partner at some time and said, well, you know, I really want to do this. I think that's fantastic that you really want to do it. When you've got these children, whoever they might be, do they have any contact with their parents or have the courts cut them off from the parents?
Yeah, so it's interesting, even when you guys were talking about it before, one of the main, well, three of the kids that we've looked after, their parents have actually passed away. So they're in a position where their parents obviously can't have contact. They have contact with other family members, but they live interstate. So they're not in a situation where they can live with family as such. And then when you're a respite carer, it's a lot less involved with the family side of things or even just with any of the admin kind of thing. You just sort of get these kids for a fun weekend that you get to do whatever you like to do with them. Some people, we always do, you know, we'll go to the zoo or we'll go out and do different adventures, but some people will just have them at home for the weekend and that's fine too.
So mainly the ones you get are for respite, are they like the short term up to 6 months or something?
Yeah, it's mainly been respite, mainly because that little girl that we had for 6 months, she's really taken over our house and our family, and we very much see her as part of our family. And so to take another placement, she's not the sort of kid that would mesh well or be able to live well with another child. And so we've sort of made that decision that she was the priority for us, and it hasn't worked out to take another kid.
So how's that going to happen when the twins arrive on the scene? Have you warned her?
Yeah, we have. We told her on the weekend, I was telling Heidi before, she said to me, so how many minutes will it be until the babies are here? I said, I really can't minutes. she's planning on being their big sister, so she'll still very much be a big part of all of our lives.
So while you've got these children, obviously you do, well, if you're doing, I guess I should ask this one to Heidi. Heidi, in the Emily's case, she's mainly doing respite, so they're short term. If another person or other people have got these children for quite some time, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years or something, are there respite available for them as well? Like, do they move them on for a week? Or that's probably a very bad wording, but you know what I mean. Do they go somewhere else for...
Yeah. And that's, you know, Emily's providing respite, Emily and her family providing respite to the main carer who has this little girl that we just talked about. And that's fantastic because I was talking to Emily before is that they're a great team. The two households are a terrific team. So Emily and her household help out and provide respite for the main carer. And that's really the most ideal situation is you've got a couple of carer households that share the responsibility, can tag team off each other and can, you know, can support each other. So we try to create that for every child because that's really important. It's important to look after the carers and for the carers to have some time that's just for themselves because it is demanding. You know, being a foster carer is demanding from the perspective of that the children often have more needs. They may be behind at school or they may have health needs. You know, they may have more appointments, all that sort of thing. So, you know, it's not necessarily like having your own children. They have lots of things they have to do.
I was going to ask you that because I guess when your own children, they come in, as Emily's going to find soon, just a little ball of fluff almost, and so they grow with you, whereas these children are being put in at, you know, they could be eight or whatever, nine, and they haven't had an ideal life. Well, they wouldn't be in the system, would they?
And I think that's the challenge, Alan, is that what we're seeing in our current sort of crisis in child protection and children needing to come into care is that children are coming in potentially a bit later, more damaged, you know, more's happened for them. But I guess that, you know, that you know, that foster carers can make an incredible difference, and they will remember that difference when they're adults. So, you know, while you might not get a child as a baby where you think that, you know, you can have all that influence, if you do come into their lives later on, you do make such a big difference. But you're right, it's, you know, that... Yeah, children come in with a whole life experience behind them,
and not good.
And that can be challenging. You know, yeah. It can be quite challenging for people. But that is, you know, the reality of our system. It's the reality of our community. And so, you know, if people want to do good in the community, you know, we'd absolutely the big call outs for them to become foster carers.
I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. We're going to tease that out quite a lot further.
Everybody wants to be the life of the party, but I just want to find somebody.
You used to be the life of the party, we were smirking loud like a Harley. You were playing games like Atari, you know Ashton Kutcher sort of hung me. I was driving mad and smashed the rental. Problems that we always have to wrestle. Being stern called to me, never gentle. But I still hang out where my ex goes. Yeah, soon in retrograde, just let it be for a while. Some people, they wanna be seen, but I could leave in the night. All these rules and shit is good, then you didn't see to the bite. All this shit, try to tell me what to speak in the mic. We'll have big cars like the Rolling Stones. Somewhere in a country we can call our own. My mom always told me that the good one's good. When the lights come on and you're all alone.
When the lights come on and you're all alone. When the lights come on and you're all alone. My mom always told me that the good one's good.
When the lights come on and you're all alone.
We could call our own. My mom always told me that the girl wants good. When the lights come on and you're all alone. When the lights come on and you're all alone. When the lights come on and you're all alone. My mom always told me that the girl wants good. When the lights come on and you're all alone.
And, of course, that was the Veronicas and Life of the Party. And I'll be here on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade, and we'll be the life of the party. So if you've got a chance, give us a yell. Heidi, Heidi, your office gave me some figures, and I find them absolutely amazing, the sort of numbers. And you're saying that the numbers are growing quite a bit every year.
Yeah, look, the number of children that need to be looked after outside of their birth parents' home or care is growing by about 11% every year.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of children. It's a lot of children, and you know, really sort of, you know, sort of should turn people's minds to the fact of, you know, why is that? I think a lot of it's to, well, a lot of it's to do with sort of family violence, with mental health issues, to do, you know, AOD issues, etc., and poverty.
AOD issues.
Oh, sorry, alcohol and other drugs. And that might not necessarily be both the parents, could be one of the parents or whatever. But, you know, I read a statistic that that 1 in 8 people in Australia currently live in poverty, and that figure has not changed for 30 years.
That's so disgraceful.
You know, if you, it is disgraceful considering how much some people have got.
Heidi, it says here that Victoria is the worst. Do we know why? Is there a reason that we haven't invested in it or something?
Look, it's probably quite complex, Alan. I can.
Always like easy answers.
Yeah, I know you do. Yes, I think that that certainly when we see, so for instance, in the last 5 or so years, the New South Wales government invested enormously in early intervention and keeping kids at home, and you know, really heavily invested. So I do know about that scenario, and it did turn the dial. Because it's extremely expensive for the states, for children of the state to come into the state's care. It's extremely expensive for our community. So, oh, absolutely. So it really makes sense to put in the money at the early stages to make sure that people do have the supports that they need and clearly the income that they need to actually live a reasonable life if 1 in 8 people are in poverty. So there is much I think we can do to alleviate pressure in families where, you know, then children are not safe for a whole variety of reasons.
They're saying here by 2026, which isn't all that far down.
No, it's not.
Up to around 26,000 children will be out of home.
Yep. And this is a study that was done, commissioned by Berry Street at the time, a couple of years ago now, and it was really in response to the escalating numbers of children coming into care because, you know, parents were unable to care for them safely. And it was also factoring in COVID. We haven't actually really seen the full effect of COVID-19 on our community.
No, we haven't. We
really have not. It's going to have a very long tail. So that was also factored into this number. But yeah, it's quite horrendous because it you know, it means that you know, think of all those fractured families, and fractures in families are pretty hard to mend. They're hard to mend, and they can be intergenerational. So we know with the stolen generations that we will have generations and generations of Aboriginal people still traumatised by that fracture in the family. So it's best not to fracture it in the first place.
Sounds good. I've got to take another quick break, Heidi, and I'd like to come back and talk to Emily, if I can, about her journey.
We'll be right back. community information sharing, and great music. Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 21 minutes to 1, 19 degrees. Gee, the hour goes really quickly on these shows. And we're talking to Heidi and Emily from Anchor. Emily, so you made the decision that obviously you sat down with your partner and whoever and said, well, look, I want to do this. We've got people listening. We want to try and convince them that they should become a foster carer, whether it be full-time, part-time or weekends or respite or whatever it might be. So what happened? Like, you contacted Anchor and said, look, I want to do it. So what happens from there on in? Can you just give us a quick rundown, please?
Yep. I had a friend who was already a carer, so I reached out to her and asked her what the go was, how do I get involved? And she is accredited with Anchor, so she said, well, this is who we're with, reach out to them. Yep. Reached out to them and had someone come and visit within, I think it was within a couple of days, that they came and gave us the rundown of how it all works. And then once you've got that information and obviously have had the chance to have a chat about it and work out if it's going to work for you, we then said, yep, let's do it. They had some training days already locked in, and so we could decide whether we wanted to do. I think we must have inquired around December, and the first one was January, February.
But what they told you, has that been true? When I say not true, did that, like, it followed that way quite easily once you had the information?
Yeah, and the initial stuff is quite, I'd always been told it would take a long time to get accredited or that it would be quite a long process, but that wasn't at all our experience. I found it quite quick and smooth through that first initial experience of it. So we decided to do the first accreditation that we could, which was in the January. So we started that, and I think it was like three Saturdays that we went into Anchor. You sit and do training for the day. They give you some readings, you meet a lovely group of people that are also considering it, and then from there you do some interviews at home. So that's where they obviously ask you the nitty-gritty details of your life.
Yep.
And then once you pass that, they'll go to a panel and they'll chat about you and say that, you know, we're happy for you guys to become carers. And for us, that panel got moved forward so that we could take our first placement. So we were accredited, I think, within 24 hours of having this little girl come and stay with us.
So I was going to ask you that. Heidi, is that normally the way it goes, like fairly quickly, like you get accredited today and there are so many children there? Or?
Yeah, look, there are always children waiting. And obviously Emily and her partner were able to move fairly swiftly. Sometimes people are not so able to move that swiftly. But I would say that if people are prepared to, we can, you know, certainly move at their pace, that's for sure. Would like to add that now that we can do online training, it doesn't all have to be face-to-face. It's done a little bit differently now, I think, probably to when Emily and a partner did it. So we try very hard to meet the needs of everyone and fit in with everyone's schedule.
Heidi, does it matter if the person who's listening today already have a couple of children of their own?
No, it doesn't at all. Not at all. Foster care can be for anyone, can be for singles of either sex. It can be for younger people, older people, families, etc. It's just really about working out how it works for you. What's your best, best sort of way of working it. I mean, we have some people, a gentleman that I can remember being a carer, he was on his own and he tended to have teenagers, and that really worked really well with him. He really liked mentoring teenagers and was very good at it. You've got other people that decide that they their own biological children will always be older than the foster child that comes in.
Yep.
Because that's a better dynamic for them, that their children don't then feel displaced. They've got a younger one coming in. Some people, we're incredibly grateful for, like Emily and a partner, to be able to take siblings. One of the things that the system and certainly Anchor do not want to do is part siblings. We hear from children after their care experience that the worst thing, even worse than being removed from their parents, was being separated from their siblings. And so as a system, we really, really would encourage people who could take, you know, more, you know, two or three children. It's so important they are together, because sometimes it's all they've got left. Well, it's really important.
And sometimes I guess they're happy to get away from home because they're coming out of really tragic circumstances, but they don't necessarily want to separate from their siblings either,
no,
do they?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they don't usually want to leave their parents either, but they we work with them and there's counselling and so forth that they come to understand what was unsafe about that situation. But, you know, I've never found a child that doesn't love their parents, and vice versa. It is about learning how not to live with them. But absolutely the siblings, so we would certainly reach out to people that would consider that. And so that might mean that people don't have any dependent children at the moment. Yep. We have carers that have got older children still living with them, adults who are at uni, that sort of thing. That works beautifully too, you know. Empty nesters. Yeah, look, it can be for everyone, Alan.
Almost anyone.
Really, it can be for anyone. And it's really just about you want to change a child's life.
Fair enough. Just got to take another quick break. I've got a couple of things popped up that I've got to do, and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Covered there about three decades. Of course, mine is the one I like, the last one, which is Elvis Presley and Follow That Dream. And I'll be playing Elvis and others on Sunday night between 6 and 8 in the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. Prior to that, we played Led Zeppelin, Can't Even Read My Own Writing, and, of course, the Veronicas. So one's for Emily, one was for Heidi, and the last one was my era. It is the oldest of, let's be honest. Ladies, look, the whole process the whole idea behind today's program, while we've talked about foster care, at the end of the day, you people, Anchor, really need more foster carers. So first of all, Emily, you give us a bit of a wrap-up as to why you think the people sitting at home should follow your lead and become a foster carer. First of all, we just need to make quite clear that it doesn't have to be a full time, because I think some people probably have the feeling that, if I take this, I'm going to get a child for 5 or 6 years or whatever. And I'm sure Heidi, in her wrapping up, will say that it can be for a weekend or it could be. But Emily, you try and convince us as to why the people listening should become a foster carer.
I honestly genuinely believe that it's the most rewarding thing that you can do with your life. Just to see, like, particularly with this little girl that we did have live with us for 6 months, and, you know, now we've known her for 2.5 years, and to see the growth in her, to see, you know, when she first came to us, she could barely read, and now she'll come and read me whole storybooks on a weekend, and, like, it's just the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I think just once you meet these kids and realise that they're not these awful, you know, they're not out to damage your life or to ruin things or to do, you know, make life hard. They're just kids that are going through a really hard time, and the fact that you can come alongside them and watch them grow in whatever capacity that is. Obviously, we're just doing once a month. We have her for the weekend at the moment. That works really well for us. We've had her for longer before. It's all very adaptable, and foster care is really flexible with your lifestyle. And once you've done it for a little while, you realise it's not as daunting to say no if you do need to say no to a placement. But just the reward of getting to know a kid and experience life with them, and be able to be that support for them, there's nothing, honestly, that I think you could ever do in life that'll be as rewarding as that.
Terrific. Heidi, you've heard... Emily, she's a real rap for it. Now, if people are listening, what sort of support, first of all, are ACA going to be able to give the foster carers? And, you know, a lot of people, I think, probably think it's going to be pretty hard going. So can you tell us a bit about what ACA, what they put into it too, please?
Sure. So each person, each carer household has what we call a case manager. They work more Monday to Friday, but often it's long hours into the evening. We have an on-call service that's on call 24/7. So any time of the day or night, you can ring this phone number and someone will pick it up and give you some advice and support about what to do about something. We have what we call care teams, which is the opportunity to come together with child protection, anchor, and the foster carer to talk about what's in the best interest of the child, how things are going, how the contact with the birth parent's going, etc. So, you know, there are meeting times like that. I think it's probably fair to say that... it's really variable. I obviously observe my staff in the office, and I do know that sometimes they may be on to it. They may be speaking with the carer, you know, most days of the week, particularly if it's at the beginning of the placement. Things are very busy, trying to get stuff sorted out, you know, when the child's probably in a bit of shock if they've come in from parents' care and whatever. So, you know, it can be like every day of the week, or it can be sort of once a week or once a fortnight. It really depends on what the carers need. I think that our group of carers are never backward in coming forward when they need some support, yep. And that's okay, you know, ring any time. I think, look, you know, Alan, we're an organisation that's, you know, got many, many, many years of experience in foster care. I myself have over 40 years of experience in this, and our manager of child and family also does. So there's a lot of experience in the room, and, you know, for people to understand that there's nothing we haven't seen before, and so nothing's going to be new to us. So anything people want to know or worried about or concerned about, just pick up the phone and say, look, something's worrying me, etc. And we're there to, you know, there to listen. So I certainly hope and pride ourselves on supporting our carers, as much as what they need. I think Emily and I were talking about this before. I don't feel we celebrate foster carers enough in our community. I think they don't get enough kudos. I think the man on the street, you know, that you know, doesn't necessarily understand. And I think that, I don't think they are the heroes. They're not sung as the heroes as I believe they should be. They are volunteers. They come forward voluntarily, and they make an enormous difference in lives. So sure. I wish we could celebrate them more. But we've got Foster Care Week next week, and we will celebrate them next week, but I celebrate them every week of the year.
So, and also, if somebody rings up today, they're not going to be have a quick interview and say, well, that's it. There's a child. They're left by themselves, are they? You've got to do a lot before you get there.
Absolutely. Look, the training, I think Emily would agree, is quite deep and detailed. There's lots of conversations with people, you know, sort of unpacking all the concerns. We have our workers out in potential carers' homes a number of times. So, you know, if you don't think about something one visit, you'll think about it for the next visit. And, yeah, we spend quite a lot of time with people. In fact, I think from beginning to end, my staff spend about 120 hours with each carer family, if you count the training. It's a lot of time, and it's a serious matter because, you know, I guess my yardstick, I've got to be honest, Alan, has always been, if I'm happy to leave my own child in the care of somebody, then I'm prepared as a CEO of Anchor to leave another child in the care of those people.
Mm. Heidi, how many, like in a perfect world, how many foster carers would you need in, say, the next 3 months?
Oh, gosh.
Are we talking 100 or?
Look, if I could get, you know, 30 new inquiries, people ringing up and making an inquiry, that would be absolutely fantastic. More, of course, but, you know, if we had, you know, at least 30, if not 50 people who were really fair dinkum, really wanted to do it, you know, made sort of given some thought to it, that would be absolutely fantastic. Very happy also for people to ring up and just say, I haven't really thought about this before. You know, can I just talk to you about it? Yep. And that's okay as well, you know. I think Emily had the, and her partner, and this is very common, have had the experience of having foster carers in their network for a number of years. So it sort of seemed like the thing to do. Some people don't have those people in their network. Yep. And so you might just want to ring up, you know, on our number there of 8761-9040 and just have a conversation and say, I wonder if it's for me. And we'd be very, very happy to talk to you. But, yeah, look, absolutely the more the merrier. I advocate on behalf of Anchor, of course. Yep. That's my job. But I will say that we are part of a system and the system is on its knees, absolutely on its knees, needing more foster carers.
So if you got 30... You could accommodate with 30, like you could use 30. That's how desperate the need is.
Oh, absolutely. I've always said, Alan, it doesn't matter how many numbers of carers we could get, we can always, there's always children there. I mean, there are children who spend nights in hotels, motels, in different places because there isn't anywhere for them to go. So I can tell you absolutely hand on heart that, that we could take any number of people.
Oh, that's terrific.
And that's it's the sad thing. That's how many kids need.
But on the other hand, we need to acknowledge that there is that need. It's no good us all pretending, that it's not there. I mean, if you can use 30 or 40, it means it's a huge problem.
It's a huge. It's really is. It really is. And I guess, you know, when somebody makes a decision to be a foster carer, they're making a decision to not only keep a child safe, but you also allow birth parents to become the best that they can be, given the time. And that can be anywhere on the continuum, you know, from being able to take their child back to not ever being able to. But you also help them, and they're part of our community as well, you know.
And let's be honest, though, every child deserves...
Every child. And I think I want to really make a plea to everybody that what's important to remember is that Victoria's vulnerable children can't wait. They need you now.
And they can't do anything about it. Look, ladies, unfortunately, we could go on for hours. I think it's terrific. If anyone's listening out there today, even if you've got a half a thought, a third of a thought that it may be for you, give them a ring on 8761-9040. You won't be thrown in the deep end. I'm sure that Heidi and the team will make sure that they walk the talk with you. And, ladies, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alan. And thank Emily, you very much.
No worries. Emily, I hope it goes well with the twins.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
exciting
bye.
Times ahead. Thanks, bye. Alan.